651, and today the CDC putting out a report on opioid prescriptions, and they're down, but still way up from the late 90s. Dr. Andrew Kolodny, really one of the top thought leaders on this problem we have in the country. He's the co-director of opioid policy research at Brandeis University. Dr. Kolodny, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, where are we right now with prescriptions? Do we have things under control?
Unfortunately, we don't. According to the new CDC report, we are still massively overprescribing opioids. What the CDC found was that since around 2010, there's been a slight decline in prescriptions, but we're still three times higher than we were in 1989. Prescribing had already increased. Mm-hmm. And we're three times higher than in Europe. So far too many opioid prescriptions are being written. And the reason this is so important is that the CDC has also made clear that it's overprescribing of opioids that's fueling our opioid addiction epidemic.
Right, but maybe these medications weren't really around in the quality they are today. How do we know we're overprescribing?
Well, if you look at the amount of opioids that are being prescribed in the United States, it's much higher than in any other developed nation. And we know that when prescribing started to increase in the 1990s, as the prescribing went up, rates of addiction and overdose deaths went right up along with the increase in prescribing. So we know that this overprescribing of opioids is fueling a severe epidemic of addiction and death.
Who do you blame for this?
A lot of blame to go around. Of course, the medical community is writing these prescriptions, but the medical community started to prescribe opioids more aggressively in large part because we were responding to a brilliant, multifaceted marketing campaign underwritten by pharmaceutical companies that make opioids. So starting in the 1990s, doctors began hearing that we were under-prescribing opioids, that the fear of addiction had been overblown, mm-hmm. and that the compassionate way to treat just about any complaint of pain was with an opioid. And as we responded to that campaign and the prescribing went up, it led to this mess that we're in today.
Yeah, so you say in Europe and other developed countries, the rates are much lower. What are they doing that we're not?
They understand that opioids are good medicines for easing suffering at the end of life, and they understand that opioids are good medicines to use for a couple of days after major surgery or a serious accident. But they're not using opioids for conditions like low back pain or fibromyalgia or chronic headache. They understand that for those conditions, the risk of using an opioid outweighs the potential benefit, and they understand that, you know, not only are these medicines dangerous and addictive, but if you're taking them every day for months and years, they stop working. And as the only way to get pain relief is for the doses to keep going up. And as the doses get higher, you see the patient's functioning begins to decline. And, of course, their risk of overdose death increases as well.
Okay, so this would require, I mean, what do we need to do? Just tell our doctors or somehow institute rules and laws to not allow them to prescribe them so liberally? Or?
We have to be careful in that we don't want to constrain clinical decision-making. You want a doctor to be able to make the best decision for the patient in front of them. And when it comes to prescribing any risky medicine, what you want is the doctor to be able to weigh the risks of the drug versus the potential benefits. Mm-hmm. The massive overprescribing is suggesting that we're not weighing risks versus benefits very well. And
it almost sounds like a subjective call that's being made each time, right?
That's what we want, but you want that call to be made by a well-informed clinician. Millions of dollars were invested in misinforming the medical community. Younger doctors are doing a better job. Older doctors are still prescribing very aggressively. They bought into these messages that were just totally wrong. And correcting that is difficult, in part because the Food and Drug Administration keeps approving new opioids. And every time a new opioid hits the market, the company that invested in bringing that drug to market, the only way they recoup their investment is by encouraging more prescribing. Mm. And the FDA is allowing these drugs to be promoted for conditions where we shouldn't use them.
But what I mean, we have so many opioids out there, so many choices. Why do we see more and more coming out?
That's a good question. It's because there's a large market for it. And, you know, chronic pain is very common. Now, chronic pain is not an appropriate indication for being on a drug like oxycodone or hydrocodone or some of these other powerful opioids, but there are millions of people who have chronic pain. That's very attractive to drug companies, and you're talking about a medicine that's difficult to discontinue using. Right. So for any product where there's a large market and it's hard to stop using the drug, that's a billion-dollar industry, and so each pharmaceutical company wants to get their opioid on the market.
And so, but the new opioids, are they really any different than what we already have out there?
Most of the new ones are being promoted as so-called abuse deterrent. So, for example, they're made harder to crush for snorting or injecting. Mm-hmm. But the active ingredient in the drug is every bit as addictive as in the easy-to-crush form. And most people become addicted. The addiction starts swallowing pills. So the so-called abuse-deterrent formulations don't get us very far, and they're being marketed aggressively.
Hmm. You really think we'll see the rate of opioid use down in 5 years?
I do think that if we work hard at promoting more cautious prescribing, there is a lot that the federal government and state governments can do. There's a lot the medical community can do, and health insurers are paying for these doctors' visits and for the prescriptions. If we work at it, and I don't think we have any choice because we are in the midst of a severe crisis, mm-hmm. I think we will see prescriptions start to fall. I think it will be difficult to bring us back down to where we were in 1995 before the real explosion in prescribing.
Okay, so if people that are now, let's say have been addicted to opioids for years, should we allow them to potentially just continue their use if that's something they need to do?
That's a great question because, you know, if we were talking about other medical treatments where the message was that these don't work for the conditions we're prescribing them, doctors can just stop. But here, we've got 10 to 12 million Americans who have been put on long-term opioids for chronic pain. And now that we realize we shouldn't have put them on those medicines, it's not so easy to stop them. Many of these patients may not be able to come off. Mm-hmm. And we don't want their primary care doctors to say, okay, here's a five-day supply, and you should take less each day, and then you're done. I can't give it to you anymore. If they just fire these patients, I think we'll see the heroin problem get worse.
Oh, it'll get, so they'll turn to heroin, basically.
Well, some of these people who are forced off will be able to come off, and if they can come off, it's very likely their pain will improve because opioids can even make pain worse, and the patients who are able to come off will be glad they were forced off. You do see that. But many patients won't be able to come off, and if they know where to access heroin, I think you'll see them switch.
Dr. Andrew Kolodny, co-director of Opioid Policy Research at the Institute for Behavioral Health at Brandeis University. Dr. Kolodny, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep, this is 1320 WILS. We're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Good night.